podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Voices of the Vic podcast with myself, Joe Thomas. And as you can see, I'm joined this evening by Cam Smart. We're here to discuss the 3-2 defeat at the weekend with Southampton. Obviously, a narrow defeat in the end after a spirited display. Cam and myself were actually at the game on Saturday. So, we're here to discuss that unlucky defeat in the dying seconds. First of all, Cam, how are you?
Yeah, I'm very well, thank you. And we've had a few days to sit on that unfortunate defeat, haven't we? So this should be a lot less maybe reactionary than it would have been if we took to a podcast immediately after kickoff, because it was a bit of a kick in the teeth, wasn't it? But looking back, I only really have positives to say about that performance. So yeah, an all round good day out. Did I tell you what I accidentally did? I was looking for you at your seat, and I ended up going next to a bloke that looked a little bit like you, thinking that's Joe Thomas right there. 5 minutes later, I see you walking down below and realise my mistake. But yeah, all round good away day. And yeah, I'm doing well. How about you?
Yeah, like you say, I think if we'd have done this on Sunday, it would have been a lot more reactionary. And it took me a little while. I'll be honest, talking about it and coming back on now is just kind of bringing it up a little bit for me. And I'm just thinking, oh no, I've got to talk about it again. I'm going to be all angry and het up again after it. But, you know, after this, we'll put it to bed and that'll be it. No more Southampton talk for the rest of the season. But we'll jump straight in. We will talk about the changes to the team first of all. The starting 11 was changed ever so slightly, with Andrews coming out and Serialta coming out. And we brought in Chadwickatsi and Pollock. Obviously, with that, Cleves then decided to put Porteous at right back for the game. How did you think, or how did you feel, first of all, about the changes that were made to the team? And what did you think with Porteous being put at right back initially?
Yeah, look, I didn't have the privilege of watching the Preston game. I was quite busy that day. But, you know, I've heard glowing reviews. So, yeah, look, you can't be too surprised there's been changes. And the Ryan Andrews one is particularly bold. I mean, I've said it myself, he's been really poor, I think, since he got back into the team after being dropped by Val. And yeah, I've been really disappointed with him. I think what he needs is a bit of competition, because his confidence has just been completely shot. He doesn't take anyone on. He gets taken on himself very easily, and just shows a real lack of composure with and without the ball. And oftentimes he's been caught out of position. And yeah, just he's young, he's talented, he's got a lot of promise, but he's been in a really poor vein of form. And I think it says a lot that Tom Cleverley is willing to drop him to play a centre-back at right-back and completely throw the shape that he's been using out of the window. So, yeah, look, it's bold, and it says a lot about Tom Cleverley, doesn't it? And Ryan Porteous, would he be your first pick for right-back? I mean, I don't know who would be. When I saw the team sheet, I thought that's still a 3-4-3, and it's going to be Tom Dele-Bashiru at right-wing-back. So, yeah, I was really shocked to see Ryan Porteous lining up on the right of a back four. As for the Matty Pollock change, I mean, look, that centre back role is a toss of a coin between him and Serialta at the moment, isn't it? I mean, you couldn't predict which one's going to play. And look, they've both got their flaws, they've both got their strengths. Serialta, I think he's had some good games in this system, but the last time I watched him, I believe it was West Brom, he looked all over the place. And I don't know how he was against Preston, but I would have put Matty Pollock back in for him, and it ended up looking like a fairly justified decision.
Yeah, I think I agree with what you said about Andrews. He's definitely not looked right for a little while. Just going back to your comment about obviously a centre-back playing at right back. Obviously, we know this too well with Watford, don't we? We've had it many times over the last few years where it's happened, haven't we? Where Cathcart's gone out of right back a few times when his natural position centre back, Mariak has done it, hasn't he? So we're a bit familiar with managers doing that, and it actually only seems to be that position, really, doesn't it, where that happens. Obviously, we see on the odd occasion a player get put out of position. Obviously, with Tom Delibashiru, we know he's played at right back. But it seems to be the right back position only where someone gets shuffled into, doesn't it? It's not like we're looking at, I don't know, someone who's up front going, oh, can you play left back for a week? Obviously, that happened just jokingly off the cuff, just thinking. Kai Havertz recently was trialled at left back for Germany, and in his first game at left back, he got an assist within 17 seconds of the game starting. So, yeah, so it reaps its rewards for some, but obviously
my favourite account of a Watford player being shoved at right back. Do you remember United away the week before we hammered Liverpool? Wasn't as good a day as that one, but we played Craig Dawson at right back. And
oh, yeah, I do. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he got an assist for a disallowed goal, but and watching him putting balls in, it was a tedious afternoon, that.
But it's always right back, though, isn't it, for us?
Yeah, like, always. And Dan Gosling as well. I mean,
Dan Gosling.
He's one of the better ones to come out of that. But yeah, you said Mariappa. I don't think he was too bad there. And I think Ryan Porteous did a pretty good job there. And he actually, in the 5-1 at Preston, I think he came on at 3-1 at right wing back. And I mean, he didn't look out of place there. I've got to say, he's got a bit of pace to him and a bit of technique. So look, I don't mind it.
No, I don't either. And I thought he did pretty well overall. I think he did okay over the course of the 90 minutes. He didn't really put too many feet wrong throughout the 90 minutes. But yeah, just going on to the rest of the team and how the rest of the guys played. Obviously, the midfield three was Kayembe, Chadwickaze and Tom Delibashiru. I thought they did all right as a midfield three. I know we turn to each other and every week we say it, Chadwickaze is just superb, isn't he? There's not really too many bad things you can say about him, to be honest, is there? I think he's just superb.
No, I mean, he's absolutely flying at the moment. He's growing week by week. Man of the match on Saturday, pretty easily for me. I thought he was phenomenal, and everything we had really just came from him driving forward. I mean, it's the same every week. We just say it every time. He's driving us forward and he's just such a competent ball carrier, and he brings so much to this team. The only criticism you can have of him is he does need to add more goals. I think there were one or two times he just drove and he got into a good shooting position, and more often than not, he passed up on it. He just didn't want to shoot. Same for a lot of our players. It was really frustrating. But there was one time he did shoot, and it was quite tame. It was straight at the goalkeeper. And you just think he needs to work the keeper a bit more. Get shots away, because the positions he's getting in, he could put up some real numbers for us. And look, I love what he's bringing to the team. And I think, as I said, he's our best player on Saturday, and he's our best player most weeks nowadays. But yeah, just add more goals, please, because honestly, what he's doing is superb. As for the rest of the midfield, though, I thought the other two were lacking a bit. I know Tom Delibashiru, he's been in pretty good form lately. He's getting a lot of praise, but I thought he had a really poor game. Just three or four times he lost possession, and we'll get to a significant account of that. But yeah, I thought he was really poor. And Edo Kayembe, look, I like the physical presence that he brings. I like that he does look to go forwards, but just too slow with the ball at times, and doesn't offer enough defensively for me. And yeah, I thought he slowed us down a lot, and we could have benefited from maybe Ishmael Kone getting the nod. But yeah, Georgi Chapatadze, superb again.
Yeah, I completely agree. And there were just a few times, wasn't there, where I know we kind of got quite frustrated because he was in good positions, wasn't he, on the edge of the box, and he just doesn't, he just seemed afraid to shoot. And I think this is, you know, I find it strange because we've, I still don't know if this is the we're still on top of this stat, but at one point earlier in the season, I think after the Norwich game, we'd scored the most goals from outside of the box, which was astonishing because every week we're still saying, you know, we need to shoot. And that was the case at the weekend. There's always just that one too many passes, isn't there, where they just seem to be. And I said to you at the beginning of the game, this guy, Bazunu, is just terrible in goal, isn't he, I think? And he's not very good at catching the ball. So if someone did want to have a shot, there would have been maybe an opportunity or two where he spilled the ball and we might have had an opportunity to just, like, for a tap-in or something. But we just don't seem to want to shoot at the moment. But obviously, going back to the starting 11, obviously the front three was Bio, Dennis, and Yasser. For me, I thought Asprilla looked lively in the first half. I thought Bio again, you know, just that presence where he just wanted to press. I thought all three of them actually did okay, and they were running around a lot, and they were putting Southampton under quite a lot of pressure in that first half, and actually were quite physical for me. I don't know what you thought.
Yeah, look, I'll start with Bio. I think he's been probably... if the player of the season voting started from when Tom Cleverley was appointed, I think you'd have to consider Bio for it, because he's just grown and grown under Tom. And look, his hold-up play is incredible at the moment. I don't know where this was, you know, under Valerian Ismail, under Slaven Bilic, under whoever else, but... he's been brilliant, and he was great again. First half, just fantastic, linking up play very well. Offered a little bit of a threat, but we struggled to create any chances for him, really. And just second half, I thought he did fade, and that obviously resulted in him being taken off. But yeah, another good outing from Bio, and he's putting in a real case to still be a Watford player next season, and still be a valid option for us, which I'd be happy to see at this moment in time, because yeah, he's really putting in the work. Dennis and Asprilla, I think you can probably make the same judgments about both of them on Saturday, and this has been particularly true for Yasser of late, because he's our struggles with Yasser in his whole Watford career really is we just don't get him on the ball in dangerous positions, and when you do, you expect him to deliver. But
yeah,
I think the opposite was true on Saturday. I thought he was lively as anything. We got him very, very involved, and we got him in a lot of positions where he should be able to produce, but he was just lacking that end product, and he had so many chances to play the right pass, and it was over here, it was under here. He just didn't find the right man. He lost possession a lot more than I thought he should have. And it was quite disappointing. But still, I do agree that he was a significant threat to Southampton. And just getting him on the ball, it does raise our levels on the attack. And yeah, the same goes for Dennis. I thought he's... we're getting him involved, but it's not quite coming off. And to be fair to Dennis, he grew and grew into the game, and he seems to always have to come off on the hour mark, whatever that groin injury is, might still be doing him a bit of harm, yeah. which is disappointing, because he was growing. But yeah, I want to see more from the two of them. I think with the way Bio is playing, that front three, it should be able to hurt any team in this league. So yeah, look, it's nice to see Bio firing. I want to see more from the other two.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, there were a couple of times, I think, in the first half, wasn't there, where Yasser got the ball and looked to drive at the Southampton defence, and he was successful in taking the ball around them, but didn't really kind of... I think one of them was a shot that was went just wide, and another was a cross that went across the box. So, yeah, he's doing the right things, isn't he? And he's certainly... he's an exciting little player when he gets on the ball. And you just... the thing is with him is I just think you don't know what he's going to do from 1 minute to the next when he's got the ball. But he can be still quite frustrating at times, because there was a couple of times in the game where he just runs into people, doesn't he, and doesn't look to dink it past. But moving on to the goals then, obviously, it was a very, very quick start, wasn't it, at the weekend for Southampton. It was the quickest goal, I believe, that we've conceded this season. And as we said before we came on, potentially the quickest goal that we've conceded since Shane Long scored that goal against Watford for Southampton in the Premier League. So very unlike Watford to concede a goal like that early, isn't it, Cameron? Especially with defending as poor as that and leaving someone so open. Like, I don't think I've seen that for a very, very long time.
Yeah, it looked ridiculous. And look, I've watched the video back a number of times, and I struggled to see whose man it is, because we are just all over the place here. And look, I think you can put it down to the change in shape, maybe. I mean, these players they've been used to the back three. We've got Ryan Porteous, a centre-back, playing at right-back. So naturally, he's not there to defend a centre-forward. Matty Pollock's defending space. He's not picking up a man. And Wesley Hoot's trying to do the same thing, but Will Smallbone just has acres. And I look at Tom Dele-Bashiru. I don't see who he's picking up. Jamal Lewis is marking his man at the back post. He can't really do anything there. So, look, we were just incredibly shorthanded for no reason. And it's such a simple goal and a horrible way to start. And the last thing you want against these teams that you can't get the ball off is to go a goal down so early. And it looked like it was going to be a very, very long afternoon for us from there.
Yeah, it did, didn't it? And I think we did okay in parts of the game from there. But then obviously there was that moment of just, I think, madness, if I'm being completely honest, watching it back, is I don't think I've seen Dele-Bashiru just snap at a ball coming across the box like that, and it completely scuffed into the path of, I think, was it Armstrong to put it across for Che Adams to tap in. It was, from a defensive point of view, absolutely shocking. And obviously, like I say, you know, quite disappointing from a player that's been in good form lately, isn't it?
Yeah, there's absolutely no danger there at all. The ball comes across. There's no Southampton player attacking it. Tom Dele, no composure at all. I mean, even if he lets it run, not that that's the right thing to do, but if he wasn't there, that ball goes out for a throw-in. It's really, really rash from him. And look, I said he had a poor game. I think it summed up his strengths and weaknesses. He did show his willingness to pick the ball up and drive forward, and he showed that progressive attitude he's got, but just too many touches and the final pass, it's poor. And I'm maybe more critical of Tom Dele-Bashiru than most, because I just think he's so frustrating. If he could sort out that final ball of his, we've got a real player on our hands there. I mean, that ability he's got to turn away from the press and drive forward, it's such a huge asset. But there needs to be something at the end of it. And too often there wasn't for Tom. Too often there isn't across his whole Watford career. It's something he really needs to work on over pre-season. So, yeah, hopefully Tom Cleverley can see that, and hopefully he can help him become a real player. But it's just very, very frustrating. And that the consequent half-time substitution, we saw it coming from a mile away, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. And I kind of, you know, I get why the substitution was made, because he did have an appalling first half, if we're being completely honest. But from a player that's kind of given a lot over the last few weeks, I was quite surprised that the substitution was made so early, if I'm being honest. I thought he'd have maybe given him a little bit of time in the second half. But yeah, I can see why it did happen. Obviously, just before moving on to the second half, the goal that we got back was obviously hugely important in the context of the game, because obviously Southampton were on top really for that first sort of 20, 25 minutes. obviously went 2-0 ahead, and it looked quite bleak, didn't it, from us from that point? And we kind of thought, what are we doing here? And then just something clicked within the team, didn't it? And we just kind of started playing with a bit more press and putting their defence under a bit of pressure. Southampton were being a little bit silly with playing out from the back, weren't they? And I don't know about you, but I mean, I say it about Watford, let alone other teams. I mean, I don't understand why these teams want to continue with this, because they just get caught out and it just happens. You see at least half a dozen goals on the Football League Show a week where people are trying to play out from the back and they can't do it because they're not Man City, they're not Real Madrid, you know, they're not world-class players. So I don't know why they're trying to do it. But obviously, like I say, we got the goal back, didn't we? It took a little bit of a deflection off one of the Southampton defenders, but nonetheless, it was a great hit, wasn't it, from Porteous?
Yeah, and it's that clean technique that he's got in his locker. I mean, he has really been in amongst the goals lately, and dare I say, he's been one of our better players for a while now. I mean, he's been fantastic, and I found it really harsh that everyone wrote him off because he can be a bit rash. But if he wasn't a bit rash, I mean, would he be playing for Watford? Absolutely not. No, he's definitely above a championship level defender. He's got all the technique in the world. He's just a good all round defender, and he's got the pace to match it. So yeah, really good strike from him. About the whole playing out from the back thing, look, I get it. I get why these managers want their teams to do it. They want to control all the variables. They don't want the ball to bounce back to them. They think if you've got more of the ball, you're more likely to score the goals. And yeah, okay, I see that. But the most demoralizing thing as a fan, as a player, as a manager, is seeing your team out of the game 20 minutes in or so early on. Why give us that lifeline? I mean, Gavin Bazunu single-handedly raised our levels for on Saturday, and I don't think we get back into that game if he isn't so shaky and if he isn't, you know, giving us that feeling that if we just keep pressing one time, it's going to come off for us. And that's what we did. We kept pressing, and it came off. We just kept winning the ball back, and we kept creating half chances, and eventually we got the bit of luck we deserved, and we were back in the game. But yeah, it looked like the very start of the Valerian Ismail reign all over again. Just winning the ball high up the pitch and picking the right pass with it, and just putting the opposition defenders under pressure. And yeah, it was a good strike from Porteous, and back in the game, exactly what we needed.
Yeah, it was, and like we touched on obviously just a moment ago, Kone obviously came on at half time for Tom Delibashira, and we instantly said, I mean, obviously after what, 5 or 6 minutes of the second half, I just can't understand at the moment. Kone's position isn't an advanced role in the team, is it, going forward? But yet he was there again, and for the not only for the beginning of the second half, but for the whole of the second half, he just looked out of place, didn't he? And he didn't really bring anything to the team for me when he came on. I don't know what you thought.
Yeah, look, I think Tom Delibashiru and Ismail Kone are more or less the exact same player. I think Kone's got a little bit more quality in the end product, but they offer the exact same thing. Tom Deli is really effective in that deeper role, but he had an off game. So yeah, take him off for someone like for like. But why are you then pushing Kone into an advanced role? I don't understand that. And I think he looks really uncomfortable there. I think he's best for us when he can get the ball off the defence, he can turn and he can drive forward with it. And he's been out of sorts since Cleverley came in, really. Since he's one of our better assets, one of our more valuable assets. I think he's going to make us a lot of money one day, but Tom needs to find a way to get it to tick for him, really, because it's just not working. And he's a shadow of himself at the moment, just completely anonymous every game. So, yeah, it was really disappointing to see that again.
Yeah, I agree. And obviously, after an hour, we saw three more subs, a triple sub. The Val special came back in, didn't it, for 1 week only. Morris, Martins, Andrews came onto the pitch for Dennis, Pollock and Lewis. Obviously, they made way. And I said to you at the time, Morris and Martins, what is going on? Is there some desperation going on here? Like, what is going on there? But actually, I actually thought they were really lively and looked really good when they came on. They were both linking up well. There was some creativity there. Martins was looking to get the ball. He wasn't always on the left. He was in the middle of the pitch and looking to drive forward every opportunity he got the ball. And I actually thought they all did okay, to be fair. There was a couple of times Andrews looked a little bit shaky, but overall I thought, well, certainly Martins and Morris did really well.
Yeah, and I'm going to stick my neck out here a little bit. I really think Mateus Martins is very overhated by this fan base. I think he started the season as our best player, really. I mean, he was incredible. He was electric. And he maybe slightly got found out a bit. He had a bit of time on the bench and just wasn't doing enough to justify being in the team. But I'd say he's on quite a long run now of being a handy substitute. And I think whenever he comes on, everyone wasn't too keen on him after that West Brom game. But other than that, I think every time he comes on, he does offer us a bit of a threat. He does carry the ball well. He drives at the defence. And yeah, he's really frustrating. He's really lightweight. But I thought he was good. And it's handy to have a player like that that you can bring on. And he's good for a goal. He's good for an assist. I really like Mateus Martins. And contrary to popular opinion, I actually wouldn't mind seeing him stay at Watford next season, presuming we play with wingers. But yeah, again, good performance from him. That left side after that change, it completely brightened up. And I'm no fan of Jamal Lewis by any means. Oh no, not at all. But James Morris, I'm even more skeptical about. And I hated when I saw him warming up, to be honest. I thought, what are we doing? He's going to have an absolute nightmare out there. He's going to struggle. They're just going to rip him to pieces. And I was so wrong. I mean, he was incredible when he came on. He put in a lot of work. He didn't really let anyone trouble him. And I thought on the attack, he was a handy little outlet on that left-hand side. Always in a lot of space, sort of on the overlap. And it didn't get too many balls in, but he had a couple of good ones. And just kept it ticking for us. And that freshening up that left-hand side, it turned out to be exactly what we needed. So, yeah, fair play to Tom Cleverley. I mean, that was a pretty good move. And you know what? I'd be tempted to start James Morris at the weekend, because he put in a pretty handy audition there, whereas I thought Jamal Lewis was pretty lacklustre yet again.
Yeah, I think he's looked a little bit off it the last few weeks, isn't he, really, Jamal Lewis? I'm like you. I've got to be honest. He's a goodish player, but I don't think he's what we want or what we need at left back. I think we need to look at that position. Obviously, I know I joked at the weekend at the saying, "Oh, Adam Messina incoming." You know, get left back in, the obvious choice, and get him back. But yeah,
me personally, with Jamal Lewis, We all saw him at Norwich in the Prem. He was getting linked with big moves, and he did look a pretty handy player. He looked like a good attacking outlet for them, and quite solid defensively. But for us, we've seen nothing like that. And I don't know what it is. Is it the injuries he's had? Does he not fancy it? I don't know. Is he just not that good? Who knows? But what we do know is that I cannot wait to see the back of him, because, oh my word, it's hard to watch him at times. I mean, I hate to say it, but he offers absolutely nothing defensively on the attack. Just, I don't know, he's a big problem for this team, and I can't wait to see a new left back come in. And you know what? I can't wait to see Ken Semmer come back, because I think that left wing back role, if we go back to a back three, I think that left wing back role has his name on it.
I think you're right. I think it'd just be just a different option, isn't it? And I think he's just slightly better. And I actually really, there's something about Ken Semmer that's really hard to dislike. Like, you know, he's positive. There's something about the way he keeps the ball at his feet when he goes forward as well. Like, it's stuck to his foot when he's running past people, and you just think, how's he still got the ball? But yeah, I mean, I would, if he's fit for the last couple of games, I would definitely give that a go and see how that works for the last couple of games. But yeah, obviously the last substitution was in the 75th minute, as we joked. Rajovic would make an entrance and probably get a bit of a cameo appearance. 75th minute, he came on for Bio. I mean, annoyingly, obviously we won't buy. In fact, Leah, let's. So I didn't think he did too much wrong until the end. But in between that, obviously there was a moment of brilliance from one of the substitutes, Ismaël Koné, who picked up the ball about 40 yards out and looked to drive forward and managed to score what I thought was a really, really good goal. Is one moment of brilliance in the second half, and it got us back level, which caused utter pandemonium in the away end, didn't it?
Yep, that's true enough. Ismaël Koné doing exactly what Ismaël Koné can do right there. That's what we want to see from him, and that's what we need on a more consistent basis. I mean, we know he can strike a ball, but before that, we know he can take a ball and he can turn and he can drive and he can create space for himself. And yeah, look, we've talked about goals from outside the box. We've talked about goals from midfield, and a lot of that is down to him. He's such an asset, and it's such a shame that he's only showing it in glimpses at the moment. Because I mean, I take you back to sort of November, December, January. He was doing this consistently. He was a huge threat, and I want to see more of that. But no, hopefully he can build on that moment, and he can do it more consistently. Because if he can, I mean, yeah, that's a really good, useful player to have right there. And if we keep hold of him, then I'd be excited to see, you know, what Tom Cleverley can do with him.
Yeah, I completely agree. Completely agree. And obviously, it looked like we were going to, we were potentially going to earn what would be the fifth consecutive draw and a really good point on the road, especially against a team that, obviously, with all the other teams slipping up going into the game, it was obviously a huge game for Southampton. But it looked like we were going to add to that that run of those teams that are fighting for promotion slipping up. But Rajovic, for some stupid reason, I don't know why, when I can't remember who it was that he fouled now, one of the Southampton players obviously was going nowhere. He looked to try and win the ball, was going to get nowhere near, and ended up bringing them down. And then there was a free kick, which resulted in a corner. And then the corner came in, and then equals pandemonium in the home end. What were your thoughts on the goal overall? Because obviously there's been a lot of question marks over whether it was handball or not. We couldn't see it at first. When I was back at the train station, all the Southampton fans on the phone, oh, yeah, it was handball. You know, great, yeah, it was fantastic. I'm really glad, you know, we did that over them and what have you. But, yeah, it's a tough one to take, isn't it, overall?
Yeah, I have a lot of thoughts on the goal. My first one is, let's not take it to heart because we've got nothing to play for. But that's bullshit because, I mean, how are we not meant to take that to heart? We played brilliantly. We played away a fantastic team and we were excellent. And yeah, we were robbed and it's a hard one to take, really. I mean, it's happened to teams we've played before and it's happened to us in the past, but the feeling just never changes. It's horrible. And I hate to bring in the tired old refereeing debate, but that was a blatant handball, wasn't it? And yeah, there's no glossing over that. I mean, me personally, this isn't just a reactionary thing to say after conceding such a goal, but I am an advocate for VAR in the Championship. It'd iron out such moments as that. But look, that's a tired old debate for Sky Sports or whoever to handle, not for us. As for the goal itself, I mean, you've got to defend the corners better. And all afternoon, we were just letting Southampton win every first header on the corner. I mean, you're asking for trouble if that's what you're doing. The foul by Rajovic, yeah, I mean, look at the clock when he made that foul. It was 96, 55, 56. And yeah, just really, really frustrating, isn't it? Look, I understand Cleverley playing Rajovic at the moment. He's obviously not good enough, but he wants to reward hard work, and he's seeing hard work on the training ground. So why not give Rajovic a run out when we got nothing to play for? Fair enough, no problem with that. But are we going to keep seeing Rajovic getting minutes? Are we going to see him considered a viable option next season? These are the things we need to look out for over the summer. That striker department is going to be the one to watch. I mean, all the movement there, Emmanuel Dennis, Bio, Rajovic, who's coming in, Shaq Ford coming back as well. Yeah, going to be really interesting to see what goes on. But yeah, I'd also like to make a point about Tom Cleverley's comments. I mean, I think a lot of people have gone down this route as well. The goal was scored in the 99th minute of the 97th, yeah. But I mean, we know how football works. We know that typically, even though they're not supposed to, the referees carry play on when free kicks are given and when corners are given. They're not going to call full time. They don't want pelters. That's it. It's not really a big deal. It happens every single game, and we just happen to concede from it. And yeah, it's not really the cup I wanted to see Tom Cleverley drinking from. Point out the handball, fine. Call out the defending, fine. But the added time wasn't the issue there. We've got to stay switched on. And yeah, just a real kick in the teeth, wasn't it? And still looking for that second win, and not for the want of trying.
No, I know. And it was, yeah, it was really tough to take. I was just so deflated coming back. It's been a while since I felt like that after a game of football, I've got to be honest. And hopefully we get back to winning ways at the weekend at home to Hull. Obviously, it's going to be a tough game. They're obviously still knocking on the door of the playoffs, aren't they? There's still a few teams that are in and around there. So it's not going to be easy by any means. Obviously, we know how tough this run... We knew how tough, this run was going to be. And with a new manager, obviously, I think we've exceeded a lot of expectations and played a lot better than kind of could have hoped for, really, going into all these games in this run of form. Just a quick touch on Saturday. How are you kind of expecting it to go, Cam? And give us a little score prediction at the end.
Yeah, look, Hull are one of those teams. They play the brand of football that I absolutely despise, and the brand of football Watford have been trying to replicate for whatever reason. For that reason, I've got a serious agenda against them. And to be honest, I'm hating seeing Sky just absolutely loving them at the moment. And I'm absolutely baffled by Liam Rosenior being up for manager of the season, to be honest. But with that said, yeah, they've got quality. It's going to be another tough game. I think we can get at them. They've not been on the best run, have they? I mean, they've picked up a couple of wins lately, but up to then, they've been struggling to buy a win. The way we've been playing, yeah, I think we can do something, but are we going to? You know what? I'm going to be ambitious, and I'm going to go with a 2-1 home win.
Yeah, I would. Do you know what? I was literally just about to say the same. I think we might nick a win at the weekend. I like you say, they've got some very good players, Philogene, Cavallio, just to name a couple. They're brilliant players, really. If Hull don't do anything, see, Carvalho is going back to Liverpool anyway, but that Philogene, he's not on loan, is he, at the moment? So he'll probably go somewhere a bit better next season. I would imagine he's been fantastic throughout the course of the season, I think, for them, in what I've seen. But yeah, so thanks ever so much, everyone, for joining this evening. Obviously, do remember, if you're watching, to hit that subscribe button. Obviously, Mike was on recently thanking everyone for getting to that big 500. Obviously, now we're looking to drive forward and hopefully, won't be anytime soon, I imagine, but hopefully one day hit the 1,000 mark. So do hit that subscribe button. And if you are watching as well, do hit that like button as well. And Cam, are we back for, are we doing a preview of the whole game, or is it just going to be a review on Sunday, do you think?
Honestly, I couldn't say for certain, but I'm sure we've got something lined up, yeah. Okay. Stay tuned.
Lovely, cool. Well, everyone, thank you ever so much for joining this evening. Enjoy the rest of your evening and come on, you Orns.
Sports Social Podcast Network.